Today we're going to talk about something that is an interesting topic. It might be hard for some to understand, but it is one that I felt that the Lord wanted me to talk about today. And so what we're going to be talking about today is spiritual battles. We're going to be talking about something that is very difficult because, you know, we want to be able to see, smell, touch, feel, or understand something before we believe it's real. You know, science is out to search for truth. And the way they search for truth is they need credible evidence. Just, you know, they test their hypotheses, and either there's evidence or there's not. And if there's no evidence, they either continue testing in different ways or they rule it out. Okay, the things that we're talking about today require enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. They require the Word of God and an understanding of the Word of God. And if you believe in God, then you must believe that His Word is infallible, that everything in the Bible is 100% true according to God's Word. It tells us throughout. There are countless witnesses. There are countless historical proofs of everything in the Bible, how it lines up historically, how it lines up through witnesses, you name it. So today we are going to talk about that specific topic. Now, you know, there are many Christians that go through this world and ignore the fact that there are forces working against them. You know, they put on the blinders and they ignore it. And that's a dangerous place to be. Dangerous place to be. There are things that I cannot personally explain to you. I've had my own encounters. Nevertheless, I can assure you that the things I've encountered are real. Now, I was reminded as I was preparing for this is something that Isaiah said. It was God speaking through Isaiah in Isaiah 55:8. He said, and this was the Lord speaking through Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." You know, we have a very finite mind. We have a very finite ability to recognize and to reason certain things. And we often forget that God is infinite. He has a great and powerful, all-knowing mind. And ours is a very, very small fraction of what God knows and what God can understand and what God can comprehend. Okay, there's nothing impossible with God. But for us, we use our circumstances, we use the things that we see around us, we use our humanity to try and explain things. And so if something doesn't make sense to us, we often rule it out and walk away from it. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, certain things in this world we know exist, but we can't see them, we can't taste them. You know, the atom, for example. You have to look through a very powerful microscope to see the atom. They exist, but from the naked eye, we can't see them, okay? Not understanding doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not real. Part of Christianity is walking by faith. It's trusting in the Word of God. It's trusting that what God has said in His Word is truth. And that's where I think we get into trouble sometimes is we look at God's Word and we try and put it in our own understanding, and sometimes you just can't do that. Sometimes you just have to be like a little child and trust the Word of God. Okay, so in Hebrews 11:1, the writer of Hebrews says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Okay, that's faith. Things hoped for, but not always seen. And that's how we walk as Christians, okay? Now today, what I want to look at is, you know, what is a spiritual battle? What does that mean? And what do I as a Christian need to do in those situations? Because a lot of times, and I know specific people in this room that walk in defeat very often. They walk in defeat. They walk beat down. They walk like their life is just in shambles. And today I want to teach you and show you that in God's word you can have victory over all of these things. Okay, you may not... When I say that, I don't mean your life is always going to be easy. It's not. As I talked last week, Christianity is a hard thing. It's a challenging thing. Christians go through many trials in their life. It's part of being a Christian. Okay, Jesus said, you're going to go through many trials. All right, he went through many trials. Now, the spiritual battles that we face, you can go from chapter to chapter to chapter, from book to book to book, in the Bible, and you will see spiritual battles taking place. You will see forces that cannot be seen attacking people all throughout the Bible. These unseen forces, by the way, are Satan and his minions. They're out to seek, kill, and destroy. That's their mission. Seek, kill, and destroy. They have no mercy. They have no grace. They rejoice when you're down. They rejoice when you're not going to church. They rejoice when you're not in the Word of God. They rejoice when you walk away from the Word of God. They're out to torment. They're out to defeat. If you all have your Bibles today, would you turn to Ephesians 6? This is going to be my main text today. We have some extra Bibles. Anybody need a Bible? Jane, would you grab a couple and pass them around if they need them? Thank you. So we're going to be in Ephesians 6, and we're going to read verses 10 through 20 today. And I'll give you guys a minute to turn there. So if you guys could find Ephesians 6 in the New Testament... And as I normally do, can I ask somebody if they would like to read verses 10 through 20? Go ahead.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand firm. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of evil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, making supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I ought to speak.
Thank you very much. Okay, so what we just read is something that is a well-known set of text. We call that the armor of God, the armor of God. Okay, I want to explore this because it covers a lot of things. It covers not only the armor of God, but it talks about the forces that we face, the unseen forces, okay? So the first thing I want to do is I want to examine the enemy. It says in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, according to ESV, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay, so according to this text, there's rulers, there's authorities, there's cosmic powers, and there's spiritual forces in heavenly places. All right, you can't see any of those things, by the way. You have not been enabled to see any of those things. Now, there is a gift of discerning of spirits that some people have. And again, it's hard to explain, but there are people that can see and sense the presence of spirits around them. If you have that gift, it's sometimes a curse. Yes, sir.
I would add that I think everybody has it to a certain degree.
Yes.
I think everybody's walked into a place and felt uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
For no apparent reason.
I think you're probably right. So, yeah, that's a good point. Now, I want to talk about spiritual forces in heavenly places for a minute. The first place where I think I recognized that this occurs is in Daniel 10. And I'm going to read this. It's verse 10 through 13. Daniel 10, 10 through 13. Okay, it says, "And behold, a hand touched me," this is Daniel speaking, or writing, "and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard. And I have become, because of your words, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia." Now, what we're talking about here is an angelic being that was sent from God to speak to Daniel. And he was held up. There was a spiritual battle going on in heaven. So Daniel started to pray. God heard his prayer. He humbled himself. Okay, that's always the first thing when you go into prayer to God, is to humble yourself and recognize our dependence upon him. And as soon as Daniel started praying, an angel was sent and a spiritual battle broke out. They tried to prevent this angel from coming to Daniel. Okay, 21 days this battle took place according to this text. And so Michael, the archangel, by the way, was sent to defeat this force to get this angel to deliver the message to Daniel. All right, that's a spiritual battle that's taking place. You can't see it. You'd have no idea that's going on. A lot of times we pray and we expect something to happen immediately. And what you don't realize is sometimes there is a spiritual battle going on. God is at work, but so is Satan's forces trying to stop anything that God tries to do in your life. Okay, that doesn't mean God didn't hear you. It doesn't mean that your prayers aren't being answered. It means that we have to walk in faith and trust that God's word never comes back void. You guys understand that? Now, here's something else to know. In Jude 6, it says, "And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling." There are angels that actually rebelled in heaven. There are angels that fought. They had this fight in heaven and were expelled with Satan. Okay, so these are forces that rebelled against God, spiritual forces that are at work today. 2 Peter 2:4 tells us that angels actually sinned. You ever think of an angel sinning before? 2 Peter says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned..." These are spiritual forces. Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon, who was Satan, was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Okay, these are spiritual forces, guys. They were thrown down to the earth, where they dwell today, and they wreak havoc against the church and God's people and God's will and God's plan. Now let's look at what God's angels really are. Can I get somebody to turn to Hebrews 1 and read 13 through 14? Hebrews 1, 13 through 14.
"As he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation.
Thank you, Dan. So right there, we are told that God's angels are spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who inherit salvation. Okay, reminds me of what we just read in Daniel. One of God's agents came down to minister to Daniel, and these forces tried to stop him. Okay, so there are angels that are at work as well, God's angels, in God's service, here to minister and to help the church and to help the individuals in the church. Hebrews 1:7 says, of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Okay, we don't see them. We don't know they're there, but there are forces, spiritual forces, in our world working today. Some for good purposes, some for bad purposes. But they exist, according to the Bible. Now let's look at the enemy's tactics. What are the schemes? What are the spiritual battles that we face? The first one is deception. And this is the greatest one of all time. Satan's whole plan in this world is deception, to deceive many. Revelation 27 through 8 says, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. Revelation 20:10 says again, and the devil who deceived them. All throughout the Bible where you see the devil at work, there's almost always a deception going on. Even when Jesus confronted him in the wilderness, Satan tried to deceive. That's his whole plan. He's trying to steer you away from God. Look at the Garden of Eden. Oh, if you eat that fruit, surely you won't die, Satan said. That's a lie. It's a deception. That's his whole tactic. He wants you to say, oh, this is okay. It's okay. God doesn't care if you do this or do that. God doesn't care for your life. He doesn't really work in your life. That's all lies. That's bogus. He wants you to have everything you ever wanted right here on earth. Everything that might destroy you is good for you. That's Satan's tactic, and we need to recognize it. The next tactic is he's a murderer. He's out to destroy. He has no mercy, no grace. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. To devour, to destroy. Okay, these forces that are at work are out to destroy. They're out to crumble churches. They're out to crumble individuals. You know, I'm reminded of what's going on right now in the Middle East. By the way, that is a spiritual battle happening at full force. I'm sure many of you have recognized that. The most destructive, horrible things taking place in the Middle East, and it's a spiritual battle that's driving that. It's all in the name of religion, by the way. Satan's a liar. He lies. You know, we believe these lies too often that steer us away from God. He tells us everything false. He'll use part truth. You know, he used scripture when he spoke to Jesus in the wilderness. But he used them out of context and he tried to twist things a little bit. What a brave thing to do to the author of the Word of God. Tried to use his own word against him. In John 8:44, Jesus tells us that the devil is the father of lies. The father of lies. There's nothing truthful in him. Nothing. And then Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Angel of light. In Galatians 1:8, it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Okay, Satan comes as an angel light often, and he distorts the gospel. He says Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. He's a way. But God is greater than that. There's many other ways in Jesus. He distorts the gospel. He lies. And many people have fallen for it. Let's look at a couple of false gospels that have come from angels, by the way. You guys familiar with Mormonism? I want to read this. Joseph Smith was chosen by God to restore the Church of Jesus Christ to the earth. During the next 10 years, Joseph was visited by other heavenly messengers, translated the Book of Mormon by the power of God, and received divine authority to organize the church. There were angels that were giving him this false gospel. Let's look at Islam. Anybody familiar with how Islam got started? It says, the Quran testifies of itself that it was given by God through the angel Gabriel to the prophet Muhammad. This is a revelation from the Lord of the universe. The honest spirit, in parentheses Gabriel, came down with it to reveal it into your heart that you may be one of the warners in a perfect Arabic tongue. Say, anyone who opposes Gabriel should know that he has brought down this, the Quran, into your heart in accordance with God's will, confirming previous scriptures and providing guidance and good news for the believers. An angel, even coming in the name of Gabriel, supposedly gave Muhammad the Quran. The words that are in the Quran. Yes, Dan?
In fact, if you look deep enough, the first time that Gabriel appears to Muhammad, he basically brutalizes him and tells him to recite. I don't doubt that Muhammad saw an angel.
Yeah.
I just doubt the type of angel he saw.
Exactly. That's a good point, Dan. These things are real accounts. There are religions established on angelic beings giving false gospels. False gospels. And what we see in the news and here is the way this gospel works is you convert or you die or you pay a tax. That's not the merciful, graceful God that I read about, by the way. The other way that Satan comes against us is through temptation. That's an easy one for him. It doesn't take much. Look at the world around us. It is full of temptations that steer us far away from God. Far away. Matthew 4:3, Satan's referred to as the tempter. He tempts us into all kinds of things, convinces us that they would be good things, and what you'll find is they're destructive, every one of them. Satan's known as the accuser. He accuses the brethren day and night. He says, you cannot go to heaven. You're sinful. You did this, therefore you're disqualified. And he tries to take your case all the time and accuse you of every little thing in your life and tells you you're not worthy of God. The cross tells us something totally different, by the way. We aren't worthy, but the cross made us worthy, what Jesus did. He's a tormentor. Mark 5:1-5, it says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes. I know I pronounced that wrong. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could find him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. This is a man possessed with demons, by the way, that Jesus encountered. This man was being tormented day and night. Day and night. So these are just several accounts of the dark forces that we face today. I did a sermon at Refuge last year. It was called The Unseen War. And it was about how this silent or quiet battle has formed and is getting greater and greater. It's getting more difficult to ignore, especially in the United States. Before we were a Christian nation, we could pray in public, we could do things in public, we could proclaim Jesus Christ in public. And day after day after day, you read headlines of people getting taken to court, people being thrown in jail for doing what we once used to do as a free nation, a Christian nation. And if you go into Revelation, it says that the dragon Satan was thrown to earth and he waged war against the church because his time was limited. What we're seeing today is this intensified greatly. Satan's time is getting closer and closer to the end. And the closer it gets, the more his fury comes out against the church. And we're seeing it in crazy ways, ways I never thought I would see. I mean, the things you read about today and the persecutions that go on all over the world and in the United States are just blowing me away. You can't tell me that there's not a big spiritual battle happening right now. The first century church experienced it like nobody else. They were so heavily persecuted and faced death sentences on a daily basis. And we get through that, and now we're civilized, per se, and we're starting to see the same thing starting to rise up again against the church, this hatred, this just unbelievable hatred against the church. So how do we fight this? Well, if we go back to Ephesians 6, there's a pretty good blueprint for how we fight this. In Ephesians 6:10, the first thing it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Too often we step into spiritual things with our carnal nature. We don't trust God. We don't turn to God. We don't expect God to show up in our battles. As you saw with Daniel, 21 days it took for his battle to be won. But Daniel didn't fight it. He just prayed and trusted the Lord was going to come to his rescue, and he did. The Lord came to his rescue. He came to deliver the message. We have to learn to trust God in all things, especially spiritual things. You cannot do that in the carnal. You can't do it in the flesh. Okay, according to Ephesians, we're not fighting things of the flesh. We're using unconventional weaponry, if you will. The next thing he says to do in this whole battle, beginning with verse 13, is take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore having fastened the belt of truth. What he's saying here is we need to stand in the strength of God, in the armor of God, to face these battles. I promise you, I face spiritual battles on a daily basis, and I get tired. Anybody here recognize a battle they might be in that's spiritual? I want to take us through the armor of God for a minute, because I really believe I got a revelation on this a year ago about the armor of God. Many people think it's something that we do, and I think that's a mistake, and I want to walk you through what I believe God has shown me in this. So the first thing is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Okay, a belt, and I believe that Paul used the analogy in this of a Roman soldier and the armor that they wore. And so they had these belts on that were actually armor, okay? It says, wear the belt of truth. Well, what is the truth? In John 14:16, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Okay, Jesus is the truth. He's the incarnate word of God. There's nothing false in him. He is the truth. the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. One thing that is very clear about Christianity is no one is righteous. None of us. We're all sinful. We've all fallen, and that's why we need a Savior. But in Corinthians 5:21, we're reminded that God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, just like Jesus is the truth, he's also the righteousness. The sandals of readiness that come from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Next one is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. That shield of faith is our trust in Jesus Christ as our salvation. Okay, it's our faith in Christ that is our shield. Let's look at the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. The helmet protects your mind. It protects your head. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That is salvation. The only way we get salvation is through Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And what about the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I skipped through some of that. But Jesus is the living Word of God. He is the sword of the Spirit. Okay, what you'll find in this battle, especially in the United States today, religion isn't what everybody's against. It's the name of Jesus Christ that everybody's against. And that last song we heard, "There is power in the name of Jesus," Satan knows that. If I can silence the name of Jesus throughout this country, there's no power and I can have my way. The name of Jesus has power. It has authority over Satan, and he knows it. And so one way to get his way is to subdue anybody from saying that name in a public place. That's a spiritual battle, my friends. Every part of the armor of God points us to Christ. It's not something you have to do. It's something you put your faith in. You make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. He becomes your armor. You walk with Christ. You depend on Christ. You cover yourself in Christ. And you trust in Christ, and you speak his word, which is your sword against the enemy. You speak the name Jesus Christ against the enemy, and he has to listen. There's authority in the name of Jesus. In Matthew 10:1, Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. We look at that and we go, well, that was the apostolic age. That was for his 12 disciples. You know, we no longer need that because we have the Word of God. That's nonsense. Every one of you who believes in Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and have received the Holy Spirit, you have the power to speak against the enemy. You have authority that he has handed down to you in his name. You are a disciple of Christ. In Luke 10:17, Jesus sent out 72 others. And the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Okay, so obviously it wasn't just for 12 disciples, was it? In his great commission, he tells them, "Greater things will you do than I. I'm going to send you out. You are to preach the gospel, to heal disease, and to cast out demons." That's his command to the church. In other words, you have authority. You're not a victim. You're a victor. And you have the option to either take authority or deny that anything's going on in your life. And God, please take this away from me. He's saying, speak boldly the word of God over your life. Speak boldly the word of God over these unseen forces, because they are at work. First John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. See, there's victory in Jesus. There is victory. That's why he came. One of the main reasons was to destroy the work of the devil that started all in the Garden of Eden. Philippians 2:10 says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You guys understand that? The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In the heavenly places, on the earth, under the earth. There is complete authority in his name. And I love this. In Acts, and I didn't write down the specific chapter, but I'm going to read this. In Acts, this is Paul writing, or actually Luke writing about Paul. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days, Paul having become greatly annoyed. I can see this. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Paul knew the authority that he had. Paul was the guy that was persecuting the church before this. Paul was the guy that said, I'm a wretched man. I'm the sinner of sinners. And here he is walking boldly in the name of Jesus, and he speaks in the name of Jesus, and this unclean spirit leaves this girl. Okay, this isn't a fairy tale, by the way. This is what really took place. Luke is a historian who wrote the book of Acts. He had eyewitnesses to everything he wrote about. Where I'm going with all of this, guys, we may not recognize it, but if you're a Christian, if God is working in your life, if you are stepping into the will of God, you are in a spiritual battle of some kind. Try being a pastor or an evangelist or somebody that's out doing the work of God, and you'll see attack after attack after attack, I promise you. I'll never forget when Cindy and I started this church. It was horrible. I mean, Satan did everything he possibly could to stop us or slow us down or divide us in so many different ways. And we had to recognize that that's what was going on. Okay, now not everything in your life is a spiritual attack. I'll tell you that right now. There's not a demon under everything that you've got going on in your life. Okay, some of it is just you got challenges in your life and you have to face them, you have to get through them. But it's important to recognize when they are spiritual, because you can't do anything about it in the carnal nature. You know, you can't try harder. You can't get out your shotgun and do something about it. You have to pray. And you have to take the authority of Jesus Christ and speak against these things in your life. You know, it took me a while as a Christian, when I became a Christian, to recognize that these things exist and that there are attacks on the church and attacks on individuals. But once I started to recognize that and knew what to pray, those things, they ceased. It got to a point where I'd recognize them every time, and I would pray and pray and pray. And before long, those attacks would go away. You know, the first place I urge you guys to turn if you're facing trials in your life is prayer. It may not be spiritual, it may be. God can work in the physical world as well as the spiritual world, and he does all the time. He heals sickness, he heals heartaches, he heals all kinds of things. But if you're not praying, guys, you're just walking in defeat. Speak the word of God over your lives. Get in His word and speak it out loud. That's what I did many times. I'd find verses in the Bible that spoke directly against the enemy, and it was God defining me, not Satan defining me. If you read the Bible, God says so many things about you individually, and you have to recognize that, that you have power to defeat this, that you have victory in Christ, that God has good plans for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. But many times our purpose is different than God's purpose, and we get frustrated and we get defeated. So it's important to understand God's purpose for your life and know when you start walking into that purpose for your life that God had destined for you, that Satan will show up. And you have to be prepared, and you have to start speaking against that. The last thing, I want you guys, if you can, to write this verse down or memorize it or something. It's 2 Thessalonians verse 3:3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Somebody like to read that?
All right.
Okay.
But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one.
Thank you. The armor of God is all we need. We need Christ in our life. We need Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God that He's given us in all kinds of formats today. You got it on your phone. You got it in text. You got access to the word of God. Speak it over your life. Speak it against the enemy. And be reminded that the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You don't have to walk around as a victim anymore. You can be the victor in Christ Jesus. Let me go ahead and close this in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for how much you love us, Father. You remind me every day of your grace. Father, there are many times where I was walking in the darkness. And many times you showed me your word and you showed me your truth and that all I had to do was turn to you and depend on you and put on the armor of God and speak your word and the enemy fled every time. And Father, I pray today that those that are fighting spiritual battles, Father, that's actually a good thing because we know that we're stepping in your will when those things take place. But Father, remind us that we have victory in Christ Jesus, that we don't have to sit here and be a victim. That you called an army of saints together, that you called the church to be the army in this world, to speak your word, which is the sword of the Spirit, against these forces around us. Father, you said your church will prevail, your church will survive, your church will make an impact in this world. And Father, I pray today that every person in here will step boldly into their calling. They'll step boldly into wherever you call them to go, and they will speak your word boldly. And Father, I just continue to pray for our community, for Louisville and the surrounding areas. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would start to bring your church out into the street, to send individuals out here to be ministers, that we wouldn't cower, that we wouldn't walk in defeat, that we wouldn't be afraid to speak the name of Jesus in public. That people would come to know you because of what takes place outside of these walls. And Father, for those that need healing today, all throughout the Bible, your word says you heal. That has never stopped. And Father, we just speak healing to every life in this room that needs it today. In the name of Jesus, we just say you are healed. And Father, I pray for those that are struggling with relationships today, that the same word that heals can heal relationships, that on the cross you shed your blood to reconcile us to you and to each other. And Father, we just declare that today, that relationships will be healed. And Father, I ask for every provision in this room where people have needs, that you would fill those needs. And Lord, I ask for your blessing upon every family here as they go forth this week, that you would be with them and remind them of the armor of God, remind them of Jesus Christ, their protection. Lord, I just thank you so much for allowing us to just meet in this home, to share your word, and to worship and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.